All right, welcome back to the show. Len Martez here with you on ESPN 1430. Champs Wednesdays also mean that Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com joins us. Mr. Coleman, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. And glad you can join us as you do every Wednesday. And it's always good to see you. And let's see, Mr. Christopher Coleman, 17-10 on Saturday. First off, let me ask you, around 4 o'clock, how are you feeling about the wind?
I never felt seriously threatened in that game. I thought Tech, I didn't think they'd be able to drive the length of the field on Tech very much. And, you know, that they did it that for that one drive, then they fumbled in the end zone. It's one of those games where it's close, but I never seriously felt threatened in my mind. I never thought Tech would lose that game.
Well, I can tell you about 4 o'clock on Saturday, I was feeling kind of like, wow, I wasn't really impressed by that. But by 12 o'clock that night, with all the teams that lost, I was thinking, you know
happy
what?
Happy to get out of.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? Tell North Carolina, nice to see you. Pack your bags. We'll talk to you next time, and we'll see you down in Durham, in Chapel Hill. But, yeah, that's pretty much the way I was feeling after the day was done. Why didn't you feel threatened at all? Was it because of what the Hokies did or what North Carolina wasn't able to do?
It's just being such a young team. You know, they had a fresh, you know, they were playing freshman tailbacks. They were playing a freshman quarterback. Overall not an experienced team. Tech puts a lot of seniors on the field. And in situations like that, in close games like that, almost always those seniors went out.
Now, let's take a look at what the Hokies offense did on Saturday. As much as you mentioned the freshmen, the twofold to that, Chris, is the fact that as many freshmen as they played the Tar Heels, Tech didn't move the ball very well against that defense. 66 yards through the air, 93 yards from Brandon Orr, his best total, but still not the type that you looked for when the season started. Back to the same thing as far as the offensive line is concerned. Is it just that? Is it strictly the offensive line? Who didn't play
well
on Saturday?
Well, Brandon Orr didn't play well on Saturday. The offensive line, I thought, did a pretty good job for the most part. You take a look at the stat. No Virginia Tech running back was tackled for a loss by North Carolina. That shows the Tech offensive line did not allow penetration. Did a pretty good job getting on their blocks. Billy Hyde actually said after the game that, on Beamer Ball, I think, that was the worst game Brandon Orr played since he's been at Virginia Tech. He broke zero tackles against UNC. Didn't make anybody miss. He just hit the holes that the offensive line opened up and just ran straight forward. I noticed he was scared of contact at one point. He ran right through a big hole into the secondary, was about to have contact with the free safety, and instead of putting his shoulder down and initiating the contact, he just kind of pulled up and tried to avoid it. Ended up getting decked because of it. That just shows me that he's hurting. He's not healthy.
Len Martez and Chris Coleman on ESPN 1430. Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. Brought to you by Champs Sports Bar and Cafe. And see, that's the thing. Because the average fan may see that, Chris, and see that from the sidelines or even watching TV. Not sidelines, from the stands or watching it on TV and think, why is he pulling up? Why is he doing that? Should we give him credit for playing out there hurt like that? Or should we say, you know what, you got a capable backup in Kenny Lewis who only got 2 carries on Saturday. Should Kenny have gotten more carries on Saturday?
He should have gotten more carries on Saturday. And, I don't think Kenny's being treated all that well. Here's a guy, he's doing everything he possibly can. You know, in the previous 3 games, he outperformed Orr on the field. He works his butt off in the offseason, prepares himself very well. He obviously prepared himself in the offseason better than Orr because at the beginning of practice, he was listed number 1 and Orr was listed 3rd string. So it's a situation where Kenny Lewis has done everything he can. You know, he's a model citizen, prepares himself as well as he can during the offseason, and outperforms Brandon Orr on the field in the previous couple of games, but yet he still only gets 2 carries. I'm not sure what more he can do. I think they're just hoping for Brandon Orr to have a breakout performance, but, you know, let's be honest. They should have sat him against William & Mary. If he's hurt, you sit him against William & Mary, a 1AA team you're going to beat no matter who your running back is.
Len Martez and Chris Coleman on ESPN 1430. And Chris, you talked about breakout game. It certainly wasn't one for Ty Riott on Saturday either, although he had another rushing touchdown. 10 for 19, 66 yards, got sacked 4 times. I would hate to say a lot of those numbers, those sad numbers, unimpressive numbers, were his fault, but what do we blame it on Saturday's lack of production?
Well, one thing Tyrod's doing is he's taking the snap, and his eyes aren't downfield. His eyes are on the disruption in front of him. What's going on the defensive line? He's automatically thinking, if I'm getting pressured, where's it coming from? You know, there were a few occasions where he just flat out missed open receivers the other day because he was either locked in on somebody else or he was too focused on what the defensive line was doing on the line of scrimmage. And that's just one of those things that can only improve with time. You know, that's not an overnight fix. That's something that you expected going in. And, you know, some fans might be disappointed, but, hey, what do you expect? It's a true freshman quarterback who did not go through spring practice. How many true freshman quarterbacks do you see starting that did not go through spring practice? You know, it's amazing that Tyrod's starting right now, not having gone through those 15 practices during the spring.
Chris Coleman joins us on ESPN 1430. Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com joins us on ESPN 1430 for Catching Up with Coleman, brought to you by Champ Sports Bar and Cafe. And Chris, you talked earlier about the offensive line and not allowing any tackles for loss. They did allow a jailbreak that had everyone in the stadium, probably including you, with a little bit of a heart palpitation beating quickly because Tyrod got hit and not knowing the injury. What were you thinking when that happened?
You know, I was a little bit concerned at that time. I also thought that with Sean Glennon coming in, if he had to play significant snaps, I thought at that point that they would be able to get more done in the passing game with Sean Glennon in there. So, you know, from that standpoint, you know, I wasn't all that worried. What worried me was, you know, you pulled the red shirt on your star true freshman quarterback. Now what if this is a significant injury and he has to miss a bunch of games? But, you know, fortunately that didn't happen. And, you know, let me give credit to Sean Glennon while I'm on the show. He came in cold. He showed the improvement he made in the offseason on this one play. He took the snap, showed great pocket awareness, did not have a passing lane up the middle.
Rolled right.
So he rolled, showed good footwork, found himself a better passing window, and completed a pass that led to a field goal. And that field goal could have been critical down the stretch. Potentially could have been.
Yep. Len Martez and Chris Coleman on ESPN 1430. You know, it's interesting to hear you say that you were happy to see Glennon come in because the passing game will improve, because I can tell you, Christopher, you're in the minority. There aren't a lot of people that would be thinking that way. You would want Tyrod in the game. That's what everyone wanted for weeks, right? I mean, isn't that what everyone wanted? Are you by yourself in thinking that way? Is a lot of people thinking the way you're thinking as far as, okay, you know what, put him in the game because the passing game may get better?
Well, I don't think – I'll put it this way. I don't think they should put Sean Glennon in unless Tyrod Taylor gets hurt, because you've gone the direction of Taylor now. You got to stick with it. You know, you got to give the guy time to improve and everything like that. You can't hurt his confidence by – putting a quarterback controversy out there. Everybody hates a quarterback controversy for the most part. Now, that being said, you know, if Tyrod went out, I wasn't extremely worried because Tyrod, you know, he wasn't producing that game. And if you got a backup coming off the bench, you want it to be an experienced guy with a year under his belt starting. That's as good a situation as you can have when you have a backup quarterback coming in the game. You know, how many other backup quarterbacks in the nation right now have a year under their belts as a starter? You know, Sean Glennon is one of a few in that standpoint. So if you want your backup coming in, it's good that he has experience.
And you mentioned Sean Glennon in week one, and we're talking to Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com, Catching Up with Coleman, brought to you by Champ Sports Bar and Cafe. You mentioned Sean Glennon. One of the things he did in week one was hit Sam Wheeler a whole lot. We haven't heard that name called a lot. Why haven't we heard his name called a lot?
You know, Tech's whole offense is throughout
disarray.
History. It's disarray. It's inconsistent. You'll see one player going off one day, and you won't hear from him for another 3 weeks. Meanwhile, somebody else will step up. You know, really the only consistency Tech had last year was with Brandon Orr. You know, one receiver would have a big game against Georgia Tech. Another would have a big game against UVA. You know, it's never much consistency there. So it's really not that much of a surprise. Wheeler was wide open on that one play when Tyrod threw the interception. Tyrod didn't get his feet set and just kind of floated the pass a little bit, tipped off Wheeler's hands, intercepted.
One last question before we get into the defense, and I saw this on Saturday. I want to know if you saw the same thing. Tyrod, against the first couple of teams he played against, was able to hit that corner and make it upfield when he slid, and when he actually had a designed scramble, he was able to hit that corner and get upfield. I noticed on Saturday he wasn't able to do that against the North Carolina defense. Did you see the same thing?
I saw part of that. I think, you know, obviously the first rushing touchdown, he did a good job.
Right.
But after he got hurt, you know, I think that took something away from him. And also, you got to recognize UNC does have a very fast defense. It might not be all that physical up the middle because they're young, but you know, in the past they've had big, strong linebackers, and this year their linebackers are a little smaller and a lot faster. They got Hiley Taylor, who's probably the most explosive defensive end in the conference. You know, they've got a five-star defensive tackle, Marvin Austin, who can run from sideline to sideline. That's a pretty darn athletic defense UNC puts on the field. So, you know, it's really not that surprising that that he didn't find the holes against them that he found against Ohio and William and Mary.
I also was able to count how many times they made open field tackles, too. I mean, clean. The D-backs came up strong and made nice, technique, strong open field tackles. That's impressive to have that many young players on that defense yet be able to do that, too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, they have talent. You know, let's go ahead and say it. Carolina's got talent. They're just young, and once they learn what they're doing, they're going to be a good team. I think, you know, pretty much everybody can recognize that. They got three freshmen tailback who are capable of running the ball. They got a talented freshman quarterback. Good young wide receivers. I think Hakeem Nicks is only a sophomore. Very good player. You know, Brooks Foster, very good. Brandon Tate, very good. They got some young offensive linemen, young defenders. I mean, in a couple of years, these guys are going to be a very good team, I think.
You mentioned Nicks, and we're talking to Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com, brought to you by Champ Sports Bar. You mentioned Nicks. He was the best offensive player on Saturday, hands down. When you and I spoke on Friday, had I said to you, who's going to be the best offensive player, Nicks may have not been the first name you said. You may have said Nicks after saying two or three other guys, right?
Yeah, possibly. You know, he had a great year as a true freshman last year. He's been their go-to guy this year. I really thought both offenses would be bogged down to the point where you couldn't really name a top offensive player or something like that. But, you know, he's kind of a rare breed as far as a receiver goes. You know, most guys are either possession guys or they're big play speed guys. He's both. He has a big play ability, and he knows where to go. There were numerous occasions where Yates, when he was under pressure and he had to go to his hot read, and you know, there was Akeem Nicks in the exact right spot on the field to get that completion. He's just a really good all-around receiver, one of the best in the conference.
And we're talking to Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com on ESPN 1430. Len Martez here with you, catching up with Coleman. And Chris, one of the things that I saw on Saturday, it's good to see, pressure on the quarterback, six sacks, but the flip side to that was they allowed 18 first downs, 306 total yards. I'm thinking, because your offense was able to only put up 241 total yards, your defense spends a lot of time on the field. That's going to catch up to this defense eventually, the latter into the season.
You're absolutely right. You know, Tech's lucky it didn't happen to him last year, because Tech had a big time of possession deficit last season, but yet somehow Tech's defense got stronger as the year went on. Two of the last three regular season games were shutouts, I believe, by Tech's defense. But, yeah, I mean, I agree with you, and I think it showed in the fourth quarter of this game. UNC, really well, you know, well coached. They made a good decision. Tech's defense was a little worn down in the fourth quarter, so they put in a new running back, Elzy, a change of pace back. UNC hadn't run into the outside all day, so all of a sudden they put in the speed running back, start going to the outside. They've got Tech on their heels. You know, just a good strategy by UNC. And you look at the play difference. UNC ran 70 offensive plays. Tech ran 56. 8-minute advantage in time of possession. That was big in that fourth quarter.
You cannot blame the defense for not being able to get off the football field when they play that much. Your offense has got to give you a break. And, yeah, I'm hoping we're wrong, but it looks like it's going to catch up to them, especially when the teams get better and better into the season. And they're going to get better and better.
Right. You're exactly right. Yeah, I mean, Tech's obviously going to face better, more experienced, tougher teams than North Carolina later in the season. And, you know, you've just got to hope the offense makes improvements until then. The main problem on Saturday was, you know, there was just no balanced attack. Tech ran the ball reasonably well, especially when you consider they had no passing threat. UNC, after a while, just figured out, oh, they can't throw it. Let's just load up against the run. So, you know, I think under those circumstances, Tech ran the ball reasonably well against UNC.
All right, Chris, we got to get out of here. We will talk on Friday to break down the Clemson Tigers. Thanks for your time, brother.
So
it was a pleasure, man.
Yes, sir, always.
Thanks, man. All right, Len Martez here with you. Chris Coleman joins us, as he does every Wednesday on ESPN 1430. Catching up with Coleman, brought to you by Champ Sports Bar. He'll be back on Friday to talk a little Clemson Tigers football. In the meantime, we've got to take a short time out.